This evening, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we're going to start out with John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As I was preparing this week, I was headed a whole different way. And Thursday evening, Sandy and I were talking, and the conversation went on into Friday morning. And she said, "Mark, you know, God's really blessed us. The week that we actually signed the papers, it was the week that all these banks started failing. All the squabbling that began going on between the House of Representatives and the senators and president and the men that are actually running for president, all this started taking place. And we could have walked into that lawyer's office and those fellows could have said, you know, this economy just took a turn for the worst. And we don't think that this is a good move for us." They could have done that right up until that last moment. But God had laid it on their hearts to go ahead and take this thing over from us. They didn't change the deal at all. They actually sweetened it while we were sitting in the office. And I had to agree with Sandy. You know, God has really worked in marvelous and magnificent ways. I was supposed to actually sit in an office for 30 days. After 10 days, they said, "Mark, God's called you to do something. And if you're sitting in this office, you're not doing what God told you to do. Will you stay at home and do your homework? Do your studies, do the things that you're supposed to be doing, and just be as close as a phone call in case something goes wrong and we need help." So Friday, I got to stay at home and do all the things that I was supposed to do. And Sandy, when she said these things, I really got to thinking, you know, God works in such great ways. And that's what our message is going to be about this evening. Even though things may look as dark when you watch the news, as those newscasters try to make it, God is still in control. God still hears and answers prayer, even through the dark times. This evening, in verse number 1 of chapter 14, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Lord, we thank you this evening for the ability to come before you, to praise your name, to glorify you, to magnify you, to place all of our attention, all of our thankfulness, everything on you, Lord. I pray this evening that as we look at your word, that as we consider all the things that could possibly happen, you're in control and you supply. In this first verse of chapter 14, Jesus is literally consoling the disciples. They're at the Lord's Supper. We're talking Jesus Christ is at literally at moments, hours away from being arrested. He's already said, "One of you folks is going to betray me this evening." And all the disciples are all mumbling between themselves, "It can't be me. I love Jesus too much. I love what he's doing too much. And one by one they went, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, Jesus, is it me? Is it me? They actually began to become worried. And he says, the one that dips is the one that will betray me. And Judas dips into the cup, just as Jesus does. And Jesus looks at him and says, what you're going to do, do quickly. And it says Judas got up and left the table. The disciples are worried. Jesus, we don't want you to die. We don't want you to go away. There's still so much that we need to learn. There's still so much that we don't understand. We love being with you. We love seeing the things that you do. And that's when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And today, we can take those words literally to heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, the stock market, every time you turn on the TV, it's going down somewhere. Let not your heart be troubled. We turn on the news, fighting has broken out in some other country, or the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or whoever is car bomb somebody else. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus promises to be with them always and forever. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One of the things that we need to remember is our God will supply all of our needs. King David in the Psalms put it just a little bit different. He says, I've been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I don't know what it was like during the Great Depression. I remember sitting with both of my grandfathers and hearing the stories of what it was like to split a loaf of bread between the family. And both grandfathers came from families of 12 and 10 children. And so they were rather large families, and they can remember splitting a loaf of bread and having water with that loaf of bread. They can remember having cornbread and milk or rice and milk for a meal. One grandfather used to joke, well, we have popcorn for breakfast, water for lunch, and we'd swell for supper. I don't know. There's a popcorn popper back there tonight with some popcorn already popped. Maybe we ought to try swelling and see what happens. Maybe we'll go to bed full. But our needs are going to be met. That doesn't mean we can say, Lord, the Powerball, if you've noticed the signs at the gas station, is up to $215 million this week. I really could use that money. Why, shoot, we could even add on to the church and put the parsonage in the backyard. No, that's not a need. Lord, I really could use that widescreen plasma TV, the kind that are real flat and I can hang it on the wall. Oh, that's not a need. But God's going to make sure that we have clothes for our back and food on our tables. It may not be the steak that we were thinking about done up on the grill, medium rare. But we're going to have our needs met. It may not be the nicest clothes. We may have to settle for Dollar General or Walmart breeches and shirts for a while. But God will supply our needs. That's a promise in God's Word. We can take it to the bank. This is better than the guarantee or the warranty on your new car. My question tonight is, are we really willing to completely rely on God for our needs? Are we really willing to rely on God for our needs? Last week, Wally alluded to the fact that one of these days we'll be able to neither buy nor sell without the mark. Are we really willing to rely on God for our needs? The second thing I think we should consider, we find in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Now, if you're curious about the abased and the abound, the abased is, he knew what it was like to be stone broke and he could pull his pockets out of his pants and have rabbit ears. He also knew what it was like to have cash or change jingling in his pockets. The thought of being hungry, and none of us can really say we know, I don't think, what hungry really is. You know, we turn on the TV and we see the little native kids on television in Africa or India or wherever they're filming from, and they're bloated because they're not full, they're hungry. They haven't eaten, they're malnourished. I don't think any of us can say that we've been to the point where we've truly been hungry. I don't think we can say that we've been to the point where we can say, I'm really, truly thirsty. Paul says, well, I've found myself in both places. And even when I don't think I have enough energy to take another step, I find that I have strength in Christ. I find that no matter how hard it seems, when it comes to taking the next step, and they didn't have cars, whenever I find that I don't think I can take the next step, Christ gives me the strength. When I don't think that I can swim, for example, when he was shipwrecked, I don't think I can swim another yard, another stroke, Christ strengthened him. In our lives, there's a lot of things that are going to take, that's going to take our energy. The things that may take our energy may be something like our children, or maybe a brother or sister that have turned their backs on God. We thank God, I can't stand seeing my child go through this, doing these things, in opposition to what they know is right. God is there to strengthen us. Another way Paul put it is, I'll never put more on you than you're able to bear. And with each temptation, there'll be a way of escape. Everything that can come up into our lives, Christ is there to strengthen us. Christ is there to carry us through. We used to have the footprints in the sand here on the front of the podium. In the worst times, Lord, you weren't there. In the worst times, see, there's only one set of footprints. Too often we forget that in our worst times, He is there literally carrying us through if we'll simply say, I can't do this anymore. Jesus Christ comes along and takes us by the hand, or picks us up and takes us the rest of the way through. Are we really willing to rely on Christ for our strength? Are we really willing to give up control? I'm going to be honest with you. It's the hardest thing in the world for me to give up control. When God literally told me, Mark, I want you to study to go back into the ministry, I fought Him. I fought Him hard. He spoke from the words of a man named Dennis Hicks. A year ago, shortly after the Southeast Conference, he said, Mark, God's given you a gift. I wish I could take those words back. I looked at him and said, Dennis, that's something I'll never do again as long as I live. If I could take those words back, say, Dennis, thank you for your encouragement. God, I don't know if I can do this on my own. I know I've tried and failed. Here I am. You do this for me. You do this through me. Do I succeed at relying on Him every day? Lord, have mercy, no. I wish I could say that I was so good at it that I was floating on clouds of feathery cotton and whatever you want to picture as light and happy and frilly and fluffy. There's none of that. Most time I wake up and I have to say, okay, it's yours again. Now, 5-10 minutes later, it's yours again. 5-10 minutes later, it's yours again. Maybe I'll make it 20 minutes the next time. We need to learn, we need to practice to rely on God for our needs. We need to learn to rely on God for our strength. I took a long time to say two things, didn't I? My challenge this evening, is to rely on God. To rely on Christ. When things seem hardest, when things seem darkest, when things are at their best, rely on God. In Matthew 24, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. How do we endure to the end? Rely on God to supply our needs. Rely on Christ for our strength. This is the only way to truly endure to the end. Lord, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us. We thank you for the passages that we looked at here this evening, for the encouragement that we've received from both Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, King David, Matthew, the Apostle John. Lord, we thank you so much for those here this evening that have placed their faith and trust in you. We thank you so much for all that you do. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here this evening that has never been saved and baptized, I pray, dear Lord, that before they leave tonight, they'll come to one of the men of our church or one of the ladies of our church and say, I need to become born again. I need to be baptized. So I have the strength. So I have my supplies need. So I can be all that I can be for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.